Blog Talk Radio.
The Blitz here on Blog Talk Radio and UltimateSportsTalk.com. I am your host, Erica Lynn Anderson. I am along with my fabulous co-host, Eric Brown and Nkeshi Free. Today in the No Joke Football Huddle in a couple of minutes, you guys are in for a treat. We are going to have the talented Kelly Brownson of the DC Divas. And she's also a Team USA gold medalist. You can find her on Twitter at CalBrown17. And we will also have Chandler Brown, a former Philadelphia Passion LFL three-time Eastern Conference coach. So the combine has been happening, and so there's some news and all that good stuff, plus the LNFA Spanish League action and LIBF Saturday night. So how are you guys today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing, Eric?
I'm all right. I just want to say, I don't really appreciate you guys sending all that bad weather down here to Dallas.
We got
rain. We got ice coming up. I thought we were better than that.
No! Are you kidding me?
Hey, I woke up this morning, it was 13 below zero, so I would take some snow because I think it would warm up if it would snow. So I don't even know if it got above zero all day. So.
Oh, my gosh. No, you can keep that. Well, here in the D.C. area, we did get some, but unlike most people who are snow averse, I like it, but I don't like it the way it came. I need at least 2, maybe 3 good, 5 to 8 inch snows a winter, and I'm good. But I don't like it when it lingers on for like a whole week. Then I'm like, oh, please go away. I just need at least 3 good ones a winter. So now we're finally getting them, and winter's almost over.
That's so funny. It's just funny because of, Butte, Montana is a mile high, and I mean, we get cold and snow. We get snow 9 months of the year. So, I really don't think much of it even. We'll get snow in June, and I'm like, no big deal. So,
I would be absolutely miserable.
you get used to it. I actually really like it. I kind of really hate summer. So, I like it, actually. I'm in the right place, I think.
Right,
summer? Oh, my gosh, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, it's all right. I'm not big on the heat, so I'm in the perfect place for that. Do you guys have very busy weekends?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Got to watch a little bit of some combine action.
Yeah.
A little bit boring today with some of the, a lot of the D linemen going, doing their thing, but it was pretty good time. Other than that, the typical, cleaning and laundry, stuff like that.
Oh, don't remind me. Absolutely. Oh,
gotta
it's
get that
never
stuff
done.
Done before the week hits, and you
well,
got your other
now
job.
Now that there's no football, oh my gosh. I'm like, can I just say, am I the only person semi-going through withdrawal? I'm like, I'm looking, like, I want to turn it on. It's almost 8 o'clock. Oh my gosh, I can't turn to this. There's no Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, was thinking about that earlier today.
Withdrawal process, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sucks not having football on all day. Eric, I've been reading about the combine, but I don't have the NFL Network, so I've been able to watch any of the combine stuff. And I was talking to Nicole Brown, and she was like, "Girl, she's like, how do you not have the NFL Network?" She's like, "What?"
Okay, so can
you
I just co-sign on that one?
Yep.
Yeah,
so,
I got to co-sign on that one.
It's the NFL Network actually comes in the sports package. It's expensive, and so I don't have it because my kids want to eat, I am obsessive about reading news, like football news on the internet, and I have, like, no joke, no less than 5 football apps on my phone that send me alerts every time something even goes down at all. So even though I don't watch it or have it, I'm still locked into the news. But, yeah.
Well, that's okay. I didn't have it for a long time, but just now getting it back within the past couple of years. So
yeah.
I feel
oh,
your pain.
No. Oh, no. Let me tell you. Last year during the draft, I realized that because of all of the snow and ice, something went wrong with my package. And I have the NFL Network. Let me tell you, because I some of the channels changed. So when I couldn't find it at first, I was like, okay, it's no big deal. And then I finally was like, well, let me do a search, because I'm like, I can't find it. And then I couldn't find it. And then I called Comcast. They're like, oh, no, you don't have that sports package. Let me just tell you, my cable provider did not like me, because I wanted them to be sure that I was not liking them. And I said, you need to fix this. I said, there is no way that I can be a sports blogger and actually be able to talk about things intelligently and adequately, because I have to be able to go back and forth between these two, between these 3 or 4 channels, and of course my phone and my, you know, and I'm looking at stuff on my laptop, and I've got like 3 different screens up, and I'm like, you need to fix this, and you need to fix it today. I don't care what you have to do, but this draft is going to go from Thursday through Sunday. Let tomorrow come. We won't be liking each other. So I don't know how you all do it. I swear to God. I'm so addicted to it that last year for our cheerleading competition, that song by Puffy that starts off the NFL game day show in the morning on Sunday, that's the intro that we use for our cheer competition.
Wow.
Well, for the most part, I'd rather just read about the news anyway, because I find that the anchors, or everywhere, with the analysts, whoever you want to call them, that are on ESPN and even NFL Network, all they do is just irritate the crap out of me. I mean, I just get like, I'm like yelling at the TV, the game's not even on yet. And so I find that if I just get the news itself without some idiot delivering it, I'm a lot calmer of a person. So, yeah. That's kind of how it goes down in my house. So,
so you just want the facts. That's all that matters. It's the bottom line.
Exactly. That's right, Eric. I just want the information. I do not want some biased egomaniac who had 15 minutes of fame in the league at one point to deliver it to me. Because you know what? He's going to put his own spin on it, and I don't need to hear it. So.
Right.
You know what, though? I like to hear. I that's why I like to switch the channels. And that's why I like to go back and forth between the different networks, because I want to hear different people's takes on it. And then when I get to hear, you know, the different people's takes, and then I get to hear what they're thinking and what they're, you know, and their thoughts, and then I can say, you're full of crap. You actually may know something. You know something, but you're irritating me. Because there are certain people who I don't care how much they know, especially the former position coaches. I don't care what you have to say, because you irritate me because you're pompous. But I like hearing the different opinions, just because then I can, you know, go back and forth and then think about who actually had valid points. And then as I'm reading the information for myself, then I can go back and kind of take like a smorgasbord, take a little bit of everything, and then figure out what I like and what fits.
Mhm. Yeah. Well, so we don't have our guest on yet, so I'm not sure if there was a scheduling snafu or what. So I am going to run through some news, some women's news. I have some LNFA Spanish League scores, and if we still don't have them on, then in Kishi, Eric and I will just rant some, talk about the combine, and we'll entertain you guys, no problem. And but we will make sure to reschedule our guests if they cannot make it on. So. Go to the No Joke Football Shop today. You can find that at Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties. You can order your project apparel like leggings, hoodies, tees for tryouts. You can save daily on deals. They have, like I said, they do have hoodies. It's cold. Sounds like it's cold in Dallas. That cold is being spread around, so definitely go check that out. A reminder that every sale of the No Joke Football brand goes to help another player get noticed and recognized internationally through our photo shoots and social media platforms. I told you guys about that on Facebook. They post those pictures from photo shoots and the athletes taking selfies and stuff in their gear, so you definitely want to go check that out. Players like Christy Moran, Lauren Evans of Gridiron Queensland, Plus Moon, Arandia, and Sophia Van Bay of FXF Mexico and LIBS. You can go check out the playlist at Gridiron Beauty's YouTube channel and witness girls playing American football like a girl. They play No Joke Football. So subscribe to the YouTube channel and you will get notification when new things are posted. So it looks like we do have one of our guests on now. So let's get into the huddle and let's find out who we have. Hello? Is this Callie?
Hey, yeah, this is... Yes, it is.
Hi, Callie. How are you today? I'm Erica.
How are you? I'm doing well.
Good. You're on with Eric and Nkishi as well, my co-host. So we're glad... Thank you for making the time for coming on today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Now, your last name is that... You say that Brownson?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I wanted to make sure I wasn't mispronouncing it. Okay, great. Well, what did you do for the Super Bowl this year?
I just hung out with some friends, kept it kind of low-key. I wasn't too interested in any of the teams playing, so I, wasn't too, involved in it. But it turned out to be a phenomenal game to watch. I mean, phenomenal.
It was. Now, you said you weren't real interested. Were you rooting for anybody specific, or was it just kind of a chance to watch the last game of the year?
Well, it's funny. A lot of people ask me who I was rooting for. Like I said, I don't have really any ties to either team, but being from Virginia, the Seahawks had more boys from Virginia, so I was pulling for the Virginia boys a little bit, so,
Hey, Callie. This is Kishi, the other co-host. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing well.
I'm here in the D.C. area, too, so we're holding down. I got backup in between you and Carly Harmon.
Yes.
Harmon, I'm doing good. I'm like, yes, we are holding it down.
Yeah, we have to. We have to.
Now, what part of Virginia did you grow up in? Are you Northern Virginia or are you?
Yeah.
Oh, right around the corner. Right around the corner.
There you go. There you go.
Yep. I'm hyped now.
So, obviously, there was a very controversial call at the end of the Super Bowl. What was your take on that of Marshawn Lynch not getting the ball?
If you play football long enough, you understand that every coach is going to react differently in different situations. And, who knows really what was going on in their heads that entire week of practice. From my personal experience, you spend an entire preseason and then an entire season basically building off of your strengths because, that's what you have to do. And, they could have had some sort of a game plan going into that kind of a situation where, they had a certain play that they felt really good about. I mean, you look at it from a football perspective and you're like, what are you doing? I mean, it's that simple. You have beast mode in the backfield. He, 1 yard, it's nothing. But, you never really know what's going on within an organization. You really never know you know, what kind of game plan they went into the game for. You know, if you look at it as an adverse aspect, the Patriots were actually expecting something like that, and that's why they played that.
Mm-hmm.
They played that defense so well against it, because they were actually expecting them, you know, to do something like that. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to look into it that way, you know, being a part of a football team and seeing the preparations that happen every week. You know, I kind of, my thoughts as soon as it happened were that was some kind of a play that they were waiting for that kind of an opportunity for, and that really is the only explanation as to why you make that call in that situation.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's been something that obviously been discussed and combed over by every football fan and analyst out there. And, you know, but, you know, if Ricardo Walker would have caught the ball and scored a touchdown, nobody would have questioned Pete Carroll's call. You know, everyone would have been awesome call. Exactly. Oh, great call there, Carroll. Man, you're a genius. But now, you know, so it's really just, you know, it just so happened that he called something that, you know, was one of the last plays, and, you know, the Patriots made a play, and so I know it definitely has to be looked at, I think, from both perspectives. And I bet as a player, you kind of bring that to the table, you know, that other just people that don't play the game don't have that perspective. So I imagine you kind of have something else to bring to the conversation.
Well, I was also very impressed with how, you know, there was some chatter in the locker room from the Seahawks side, but ultimately, one of the other things, if you want to get to that kind of a point in a season, a Super Bowl caliber team has to be prepared to, you know, go down with the ship if the ship's going to go down. I mean, you buy in and you say, this is my head coach, and we may not agree on a lot of things, but at the end of the day, that's my head coach. He's a part of this. We've come this far. No matter what he does, I'm going to do it 100%. And I was actually really impressed with a lot of the guys for the Seahawks who, you know, when asked the question about it, you know, were just like, look, that's what happened. You know, we went out, mm-hmm. we lined up. I mean, you got to imagine, they were in the huddle, and they heard the play getting called in the huddle, and, you know, they lined up and they ran the play. And, you know, they didn't sit there and have their hands up in the air looking at Pete Carroll saying, wait a second, that's not the right call. You know, I do mm-hmm. find, you know, I have a lot of respect for them for just understanding that, you know, whatever call comes from the sideline, you line up and you do it, and you do it your best, and you hope for the best, you know, and I have a lot of respect mm-hmm. for them for that.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. So did you watch the halftime show at all?
I did.
Did you like it?
I like her. I mean, you know, there were so many different opinions. It went both ways. Some people absolutely hated it and were like, what did I just watch? And some people were like, that was fantastic. You know, personally, I think it's good. I mean, I think that she's a very popular artist, and I think she can appeal to kind of all ages. And, I mean, it was a little flary, but that's her. I mean, yeah, I've never gone mm-hmm. to one of her concerts or really gotten too, you know, into her. But, you know, that's just kind of her. And to ask her to not be herself in one of the most, you know, one of the biggest events that she'd have been a part of would have been, you know, would have been wrong. So, I mean, it was kind of, you know, kudos to her for going out and doing it the way that she does every other show. I mean, you're either going to love her or you're going to hate her, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. We talked last week about, you know, about the halftime show, and we're talking about how, you know, Bring It On Missy Elliott appealed to kind of an older audience, if you will. Katy Perry kind of really appeals to a younger audience. But Missy Elliott, you know, we were saying how for those of us who remember Missy Elliott and remember when she was big, that was fun to watch. It was fun to watch her on the stage again, you know. So I thought that was really smart on, you know, if Katy Perry was the one to, you know, decided to bring her on, that was really smart of her. You know, she was able to appeal to people that might not otherwise were super engaged just in her portion of the show. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So the World Women's Games in Tampa, we've been kind of talking about that. Are you attending this year?
I will be there. You know, I'm very excited. I went the first year and got to be a part of it then, and it's bigger and better this year. It's going to be a phenomenal event.
Oh, that's exciting. Now, is there kind of a tally yet? How many, like, countries are going to be represented or anything like that? Do you have any information yet?
We're looking at 16 countries, and over 130 women right now. I think it's rounded out at about 135.
Wow.
Last year by no means was, you know, small or minuscule. I mean, the impact that it ended up having, you know, I still keep in touch with a lot of the girls from other countries that I met last year at the event. And, you know, but just how well we did last year in promoting our experience last year really helped it take off this year. And it's going to be a phenomenal experience. I mean, you know, when I was a part of Team USA and we went over to Finland and, you know, participated in that, you know, we saw that the game itself needed to be enriched a little bit more overseas. And it was up to us to kind of do it. And kudos to the people over at USA Football, Stan Rappaport, and, you know, more specifically, who is the head of the women's division over at USA Football, really took it upon herself to kind of enrich this game and bring the knowledge that is flowing all through the United States and kind of divvy it out and distribute it. And it's been phenomenal. I mean, just the learning experience that it'll be, and the networking opportunity that it's going to be, it's going to be a great event.
Well, Callie, this is Keishi jumping in. Oh, I'm sorry, Erica. I just wanted to jump in and ask Callie a question because this was a perfect opportunity. For those of our listeners who don't know, can you give a little more example or tell exactly what is the World Women's Game and why you guys are down there?
Absolutely.
Because
we
know, but I think just to, you know, let our listeners get a little more feel for why this is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, you know, when we won the gold medal in Finland in 2013, the biggest thing that we came back with was the competition level in other countries, of course, because it is American football, was a little bit lower. And, you know, it's not, trust me, they have unbelievable amounts of heart and passion. It was so inspiring to be able to see that. But, you know, they still were lacking a little bit on the experience. And then, you know, some of the newer age techniques that have come into play over the past 5 to 10 years hadn't quite made it into their playbooks yet or into their coaching staff. So, you know, we kind of took it upon ourselves. And like I said, Stan Rappaport and the people over at USA Football saw a huge opportunity to kind of give the information and the learning and all of the science that we've learned over the past few years about football and so forth and kind of give it and try and find a way to distribute that to girls in other countries. So last year they launched it was called WWFG, Women's World Football Games, and what it really is a camp, and it's a developmental camp, and you're down there for 4 days, and 3 of those days are spent with some of the best coaches that USA Football can provide, and you're divvied up into, you know, your different position groups, and, you know, you've got girls from the U.S. and Canada and Germany and the U.K. and all this in all of your groups, and it's literally just a straight-up fundamental instructional camp. And, you know, the girls are learning from each other, and they're learning from some of the best coaches in the country. There's a lot of former NFL players who take part in it, who help out, and it's just a great opportunity. It's been a great opportunity for USA Football to also distribute the new heads-up football tackling technique for safer tackling and less concussions. And so you spend your first 3 days learning and going through drills and techniques and learning, you know, the playbooks. And then the cool thing is on Sunday, Saturday night, the night of the third day, they have a little draft. And they basically distribute, you know, players amongst teams. It has nothing to do with what country you're from. And they put you on a team, and then on Sunday you get to play each other. And it's awesome to be able to wear the same uniform as some girls from other countries. And that's the games aspect of it. But most of all, it's a big fundamental camp.
Wow, that sounds awesome. I want to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keishi, did you have any follow-up questions regarding that?
I did, because I'm just like, I'm so floored. I mean, once you said fundamental camp, I mean, that's like when it, you know, really pegged home. But you also said something that was really important that I don't think a lot of people also realize, is that the whole USA Football and the Heads Up program is that it is not just limited, because I'm a mom and I have a son, and that's like really huge right now, you know, in terms of my concerns and making sure that he's learning the correct techniques on how to hit, how to tackle, how to fall when he's hit.
Right.
And I think that that's so great that you guys as professional athletes are also getting that same technique and training. And I'm wondering, where are the partnership opportunities, you know, in terms of helping to really work with USA Football as well as the other programs that the NFL is doing through the NFL Moms program? Because I know
right.
Mike Golick's wife is part of that, and she's making sure she's part of that Heads Up program too, I think, right?
Yes.
Is she part of, yeah. So I was wondering, you know, is this an opportunity then for potential partnerships and revenue and opportunities for publicity by getting that partnership through the Heads Up program?
So, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, when you start to look at more of the amateur levels, so, you know, you said you're a mom and it's important to you. So a lot of, especially, you know, in the D.C. area, Heads Up Football is a huge deal. So, you know, I actually was a defensive backs coach at a high school right down the street, Mount Vernon High School. I don't know if you're familiar with it. And, you know, we had to be Heads Up Football certified. And a lot of the youth organizations here are going to start following that trend of coaches have to be Heads Up Football certified. And I know for a fact that a lot of people are capitalizing on the opportunity to bring, they're called master trainers. So people can train and become a Heads Up Football master trainer that's trained through USA Football. And these master trainers are coming out to all of the camps and clinics and so forth. And a lot of people are capitalizing on that. A lot of little league football organizations are capitalizing on that, high schools, all of that stuff. And Heads Up Football, really, when USA Football launched it, it was about making it a safer game, about educating yeah. people on how to make it a safer game, because everybody who loves football wants this game to stay, you know, what it is, an aggressive, physical, all-out game. But you can find ways to make it safer and make sure that these kids can continue to play as long as they want to play without any long-term health effects or anything like that. So when they launched this whole program, the idea was more than education. I mean, they wanted it to spread like wildfire. And as of now, I think it's only, I want to say maybe 5 years old, probably even a little bit more of the concept. But, I mean, it really is. And so when you talk about partnership opportunities, you know, when I talk about, you know, like the women's league I'm involved in, I've been waiting for the time where it's actually required for our coaches to be Heads Up Football certified. You know, we actually do have a couple coaches on our staff who are. But, you know, that's a huge opportunity for our league and for USA Football to kind of enrich that whole educational demographic in there.
Yep. Oh, I absolutely agree. And, yes, I'm absolutely familiar with Mount Vernon, y'all, Mount Vernon Majors, because I am a Robert E. Lee Lancer.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
So Gunston District in the house.
Yes,
yeah, And so, I'm sorry, you guys. So, basically, Callie and I went to rival high school.
Yes, we did.
But,
we did.
And so, but yeah, and I have to give her credit because, truthfully, even when I was in school, her high school always had a spectacular football program. So, so to know that you are now coming back and that you are coaching, you know, that's huge, and I definitely would love to talk to you about that later, you know, especially just from the fact of being a female football coach and at Mount Vernon. That's spectacular.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it's been very rewarding, very rewarding.
Eric, do you have any questions for Callie?
Yeah, I was just curious how you got into football and kind of what your biggest adjustment was once things got going for you.
So I actually played when I was younger in fifth grade. And, you know, I was very fortunate to have such a supportive father who, you know, anytime I came up with some sort of a crazy idea was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's find a way to do it. And, you know, I had a lot easier journey than I would say a lot of these girls even nowadays are having when it came to youth football. But I loved it. And as I got a little bit bigger, the boys got a little bit bigger, my dad was like, well, listen, you know, maybe we should talk about this and we'll think about it. And it was a different time. And, you know, if it was nowadays, and I've actually talked to my dad about this, if it was nowadays with all of the new helmet technologies and all these other things that they have, he probably wouldn't have been as hesitant about it. But, you know, I graduated and, you know, went off to college and did all that stuff. And I played softball through high school and, you know, played at a junior college. And then it kind of all, you know, trickles out and you're sitting there and you're like, well, what am I going to do now? I was, you know, with a competitive spirit and all of that. And a friend of mine came and said, have you ever heard of the DC Divas? And I was like, who? And they were like, you know, there's this women's professional football team in the D.C. area. And I was like, no way, like full pads and all of that. And they showed me some YouTube videos, and I reached out to the GM and tried out. And, I mean, that was 5 years ago now. And I was actually brought onto the Divas as a quarterback and a wide receiver. And then the next year was moved over to defense, and that's kind of when everything kind of took off for me. As for my big adjustment, I think my biggest adjustment happened when I actually switched over to defense. I was kind of, you know, in a bubble when I was doing the quarterback wide receiver thing. Like, you know, I was getting hit and doing all that, but I kind of just floated around, I guess. And then when I moved over to defense, and it was like the first day, Oklahoma drill, just bang into each other. You know, you kind of have to have that killer instinct, that madness of, you know, I got to go full right. speed, and I have to win this right here. And, you know, I was fortunate to be around some phenomenal coaches and some phenomenal motivators who really helped me kind of find that inside of myself and find a way to channel it. And, you know, the rest is history.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. Most of my life I grew up playing offense, and then when I got to college, I was changed over to defense. So it's you know, you're used to the contact, but it's a totally different mentality on that side of the ball. You have to develop, you know, whatever it is that's going to give you that, you know, like killer instinct, as they call it, or, you know, the eye of the tiger, or whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, I can totally relate on that level.
Absolutely.
So how have your off-season workouts been going with the DC Divas?
Oh, really good. You know, things have been taking off really well. Every year we get access to new and new facilities, and, you know, that kind of opens up brand new things for us. You know, when I started, it was literally just, you know, 5 years ago, it was just, you know, for the time that we had to be inside because of the weather, which is unfortunately, you know, the first 2 months of our preseason training.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, on a gym floor, and, you know, you just, that's what you did. But now we have access to performance facilities with indoor turf fields and weight rooms and all of this stuff, and it's really changed our preparation. And it really it's nice that as the game is evolving, we're getting access, and I'm hoping that that's in case with other teams. But everything's been really well. We're a really strong squad this year. We got a great group of rookies that are in, and they're excited. And, you know, anybody who's played any sort of competitive sport knows that ultimately attitude is everything, and we just have a good little attitude going on. So far, I mean, we haven't yet, we're in pads, but we're still inside, so we haven't quite yet hit the field yet, and that's really when you know who's got what. So I'm really excited to kind of see who's gonna break through and who's really going to be, you know, an intricate part of what we're trying to do this year.
Nice, exciting. So what would you say the balance is as far as the rookies or kind of first-year players, you know, second-year players versus the veterans? Would you say you guys have a pretty good balance there?
We do. And like I said, you know, in past years you get totally different dynamics. Different people pop up as leaders, and, you know, and then you have some people who just kind of blend in. But, you know, this year we've got a big group of first-year players or first-year divas and rookies, and the vets have done a phenomenal job kind of taking everybody under their wing. So right off the bat, you know, we have a good dynamic of you know, this whole team mentality. And if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask. Let's get this done now. And, I mean, it's been great to see it all kind of mend together. And, you know, anybody who has played a competitive sport knows you're only as strong as the person who's standing next to you at the end of the day. So, you know, we've kind of taken that in and understood that, that, you know, this person next to me, if they're struggling, we got to help them find a way to get through it. And, you know, that's kind of been – I mean, the workouts have been pretty tough. So, but the coaches have kind of built all of that around – a team mentality. You know, if you want to finish, you guys have to do it together. So that's been great. And I think it's been encouraging for the rookies as well to see. You know, there's been years that I've been a part of this team where it's been this kind of initiation atmosphere, and it's like, oh, you have to earn the respect from me. But this year it's more, well, yeah, you have to earn your respect, but also, like, I want to help you figure out how to be successful. And that's been really great to see.
That sounds like you know, you're really preparing to have a really successful season that way, you know, that everybody can flourish. And when everybody flourishes, the team obviously flourishes and does well. So,
absolutely.
I mean, we've all seen those teams, you know, have the talent on the field, but lose it in the locker room, and you know, all the talent in the world isn't going to make up for poison in the locker room. So that's awesome. That's really cool. So there's new teams being added to the WFA for 2015, right?
Yes, I do believe so. You know, it's actually been a very eventful preseason when it comes to teams dropping out, new teams coming in. It's been, you know, with the whole Boston deal going on, which kind of shook everybody. And then I think, I'm not sure if they ever got everything together, but Las Vegas was another one who dropped out temporarily. You know, it's tough. It's really tough. And until we find a way to create one league and have some sort of a unified front, you know, this is how it's going to be. So teams, you know, will jump over to another league and try it out for a couple of years and then figure out that they were actually in a better position in the league they just came from, and they'll bounce back. And it's a yo-yo effect, and it's actually really – I feel very horrible for the women on these teams who are a part of that because, you know, they never really get their feet on the ground and are able to really focus on what on playing football. It's always this, you know, this atmosphere around them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hopefully in the future things get figured out. And, you know, my fear goes towards, you know, the women who are involved on these teams because at the end of the day, they just want to play football. They don't want the politics.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's why you have an organizational unit, I mean, that can hopefully handle that stuff. You know, so that the players only worry about one thing, and that's winning games. You know,
yep.
I don't know. You know, it seems like a lot of the issues are probably financial. It seems like that's probably a huge percentage of the reasons teams drop out and come back, and that's an unfortunate part of women's football. It's a kind of a necessary evil, obviously. The world go round and people are, I mean, women's football, you know, like we've been talking, is a lot more popular than it ever used to, but it's not popular enough. I mean, the awareness still has to get out there so that you guys can be paid and that these teams don't have to worry about closing their doors because of financial issues. And it's really sad to see.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it is. It is sad to see. And, you know, like you said, the silver lining of it is women's football is in a place now that it has never been. And that's, you know, like I said, it's a silver lining. And financially, a lot of these teams are going to struggle. I think, you know, Boston is going through this right now, too. Really understanding how much it costs to make a season happen. And it is a lot. And there's a lot of these hidden costs that, you know, we don't. One of the things that I've liked that the Divas have done over the past couple of years is when the rookies come in, they actually sit them down and show them on a PowerPoint presentation, you know, so that they know what they're raising money for and understanding why, you know, we have to raise so much money, which has been great. I mean, education is huge when it comes to that stuff. And they show them all the costs. This is how much it costs for us to be where you're sitting right now. This is how much it costs for us to have this game here and that and that. And, you know, it's tough. And every team struggles every year to try to you know, pinch some pennies and find a better way to do it. But, yeah, it's totally financial, and it's hard because every time somebody asks me, you know, do you get paid, you know, the answer is obviously no. No, I actually pay to do this. You know, I've been very fortunate the past few years to have some sponsors who've helped me out. And, you know, that's you know. But ultimately, if you were just to look at the passion and the drive and the dedication of these women, it's really, really sad that, you know, it ends up having to be so financial. And a lot of these women don't get the opportunity to continue to play because I think they said the average player cost across the league is, you know, ballpark around $1,000 a season. That's a lot of money. And, you know, and a lot of women, you know, who would do anything to play actually have to hang it up because they have, you know, children or things going on at home where they just can't afford to do it. And that to me is a huge shame. And it's why I try to work really hard with people like Sam Rappaport over at USA Football and with people all over when we network and try and spread awareness about the game, because I think those women should have every right to be on the field. And that's why we work so hard to try and build this game every year. And we're working hard with people like Carly Harmon, who are going to be the future of the sport and the future of everything that we do. and, you know, Sam Gordon. Those girls are really, hopefully, you know, when their time comes, they're not going to have to worry about these kinds of things. And that's what we work hard for. So hopefully we can make a change.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome to hear. And Keisha, do you have any other questions for Callie?
Well, no, but I'm really glad that she mentioned the part about the financial aspect, because that was one of the reasons why I was asking about the partnership potential. And, you know, being here in D.C. and because, you know, you guys have the skin's colors, are you guys ever able to capitalize or do any partnerships with the WOW, the Women of Washington, or anything like that to help spread? Because I've actually heard of the D was a long time ago, and then I didn't see them for a while, so I was really happy to hear, and I don't know if it was because I fell off the grid, but I was really, you know, glad to know that you guys are still here and that you are still around. You know, what opportunities are there? Because truthfully, I think that what you said is right. The women have a right to want to play and to play well, and also to play safely.
Well, yeah. So we, you know, on the Redskins aspect of it, you know, we've definitely tried that for years and years and years. You know, just like anything, and sometimes you have to humble yourself and bring yourself down to ground zero to understand that this is a business and the sports industry is a business. And we constantly want to see the brighter side of it and say, well, no, but look at this. These are passionate, driven women, and documentaries have come out to capture that aspect. But ultimately, it is a product. And it has not become a product that has been, you know, desirable for everybody just quite yet. And it's, you know, those are things like, you know, we have to have one league, because that confuses. I come across people all the time who ask about it, and they're like, so wait, this is the professional league, or is that the professional league? And that confuses people. You know, there's a lot of cleanup that needs to be done to make this a desirable product. If you ask anybody who actually makes it out to a Divas game, they love it. I've never invited somebody to a game and gotten a bad response about their experience. But the problem is getting that butt in the seat, and that's where the struggle is. And when you're looking at it from Dan Snyder, who I just, you know, don't get me started on Dan Snyder, but if you're looking at it from his perspective, he doesn't see it as a desirable product. And that's unfortunately the problem with women's football. If you look at women's soccer, USA Soccer has, to some people who follow that, has been a desirable product. But when they played in the World Cup and had that big run, they became a human. I mean, that's when everybody blew up. That's when it all blew up. Because at that point, they had created themselves as a desirable product. Women's football needs to find an opportunity and clean it up a little bit. Yeah, clean it up a little bit. So, you know, that's kind of where the struggle is. And it's hard to build partnerships until you have something that you can show people. You know, Boston is able to kind of, I think, you know, in my opinion, I'm actually really good friends with a couple of the girls who are revamping that organization and resurrecting it, you know, because of their success, because of 3 Super Bowl rings in the past 5 to 6 years, they're able to resurrect that team and find people who want to be a part of it. But you have to think about that league-wide. Not every team has that opportunity. Not every team has won 3 Super Bowls in 5 years. You know, so as a whole, it's just about, you know, enriching the product and making it something that people want to stop and say, I have to be a part of this. And, you know, that's really what we're working on.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Eric, do you have any questions for Callie?
Well, not necessarily a question, but a comment, just to what you were saying about the somehow getting the game more popular. Of course, there's a lot of men in the decision-making positions that, you know, have to have their minds changed, because I know, you know, a lot of men get intimidated when they see women that, you know, can, you know, physically do something better than them, or more athletic, or, you know, if a woman is bigger than they are, or you know, has more muscle. So just some kind of way there needs to be a way to kind of shift that mentality in order to, you know, get things going, you know, in a bigger way. For women.
Agree. I think that's a phenomenal point. I mean, that's a great point. And it's something that a lot of people who, you know, we've discussed things with people before, and that's been their feedback. You know, I told this guy that, you know, we play football full pads,
full speed and it's awesome. And he was like, oh, whatever. You know, that's a lot of the feedback that we get. Is, I think intimidation is a great way to put it. They're like, well, wait, they do what? And it's also, you know, social norms, what we believe, and it's changing, and society is changing. And it's, you know, the battle that, you know, Carly Harmon and Sam Gordon and all those girls are taking on is, you know, what are women socially expected to do? You know, do you expect them to get in pads and go and run at each other? Like, a lot of people are still stuck in that women don't play football and can't play football, and they don't even want to give it a chance to change their mind about it. But society's moving. It's shifting out of that, fortunately. But we're still kind of in that gray area where it's really hard to convince somebody that, no, it's the real deal. I guarantee if you go and watch a game, you'd have no idea that they were even women. You know, it's that's a tough part of it, too.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, before we let you go, Callie, can you let everyone know where they can interact with you, kind of follow your career, your journey on any social media outlets or, you know, any websites or anything you're on?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, generally speaking, the DC Divas, you can follow them. They're on Twitter, DC Divas Football. They're on Instagram as well. I think it's DC Divas Football. And then the website is DCDivas.com. And, you know, you can keep up with the team, and we have a lot of people that are very entertaining to be a part of. And me personally, I try during the season, once the season starts up in April, to keep everybody as updated as possible on how I and the rest of the team are doing. I'm on Twitter, so it's at Cal Brown, CALBROWN 17. So that's where I kind of keep everybody up to date and posted on what I'm up to.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on, making the time for us today, and you know, we appreciate your support with the No Joke Football Awareness Campaign, and you know, just everything you're doing for women's football in general. It's, you know, you're so impressive, and we just really thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and good luck this season, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. I hope we can bring a championship home.
Me awesome. Too. Take care, Callie.
All right. Have a
and
good
we'd
one.
Love to have you on, you know, later after the Women's World Games, so you could kind of talk about your experience too.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to. That'd be great.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Take care.
Thank you. Yeah. You guys have a good night.
Have a good night. Thanks.
Bye.
All right. So that was the awesome Callie Brownson. So unfortunately, it looks like Coach Chandler Brown of the Passion will not be able to make it on tonight. So we will try and reschedule that and see if we can get him on so we can so we can interview him. We'll go over some women's stuff, and then we'll talk a little bit about the combine, and then we'll sign off. So we want to remind you to watch the LIBF broadcast on TV Azteca in their 2015 season. If you check out our timelines on Facebook and Twitter, you can find updates for that. Week two of the LNFA Spanish League was today, and those are the Barbera rookies beat the Pioneers 32-0. The Bufalls lost to the Terrassa Reds 12-13, and the Black Demons beat the BGG Hurricanes 19-0. Those are your scores for that. You can get results at fesa.es/LNFA. If you use the hashtag LNFA Feminina on Twitter, you can follow at FIFA_Spain for update of matches on Twitter, and also follow at FieldGoal_EU. Plus a reminder for 1 week left for the Women's World Games 2, about 136 women will be in Tampa for the event. Like Callie was saying, it looks like 16 countries are going to be represented. It's February 26th to March 1st. You can follow at USA Football for registration details. And also go to the USA Football site and go to the Women's tab. We want to remind you to follow the Australia Women's Off-Season Update and keep up to date on the latest Gridiron Victoria Queensland ACT and New South Wales information, you can do that by following at Women's Gridiron on Twitter and their website at I've read too many Twitter addresses. Their website is wglaus.com. That's WGLAUS.com for cool features and past stories. And finally, tryouts for North America are in full swing. You can keep updated on the training tryouts and news following on Twitter at BackseatCoach, at WSBTalk, and at MyLFL. And in Canada, for the women's game, you can follow at WWCFL, at MWFL Football, and at CCWFL. And a shout-out to our network partners at WSBTalk, at Miss Gridiron 9, and at GI Queendom for sharing our posts and bringing us news and info on women's tackle football. A reminder that we had Adrienne on last week, and she said, a reminder, you know, for the hashtag Girl Play Football, if you have any, you know, pictures of girls playing football, if you're at practice or wherever you are, tweet that picture with the hashtag Girl Play Football. That's women's news. You can follow us on our social sites on Twitter at Gridiron Beauty or Facebook.com/Gridiron Beauties and Instagram Gridiron Beauties. So right now let's talk a little bit about the combine. We don't have a ton of time, but we could talk about a couple of, you know, impressive players. Eric, let's start with you because it seems like out of the three of us, you have watched the most coverage. You know, you tweeted about Philip Dorsett and his fast 40 time. There was one person that beat him. Did you see J.J. Nelson run the 40?
Yes, I did. I mean, obviously.
He was flying.
Extremely fast. I mean, he was like a little cheetah. I think he got finished with 4.2 something.
4.28.
Yeah, 4.28. But, I mean, you kind of got to worry a little bit about him, though, because he's only 156 pounds.
Oh, so, I mean, that's tiny.
Really tiny.
So, I mean, I'm sure they'll have him as, you know, maybe if he does make a roster, I mean, I'm sure they'll have him as, you know, like a returner, you know, maybe, you know, kind of like a slot receiver or something like that. But I don't know. That's a long shot there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd take a slower 40 for a bigger guy, to be honest. I mean, that's scary out there when you got, you know, D linemen that are huge and looking to take your head off. So,
yeah.
Did you get a chance?
I'm curious.
Oh, what's that?
Go ahead.
Oh, did you get a chance to watch quarterbacks?
Yeah, I was wondering when that question was coming.
I got to watch a little bit, yeah.
Now, I obviously didn't watch, but I am impressed with Mariota. I still think he's number one pick quarterback-wise. He's just and I'd even take Brett Hundley over Jameis Winston, but I have made my issues with Jameis Winston very, very clear.
Unless he just does something really stupid, he's not dropping less than second, honey. Unless he just really plays himself during the combine, or his Wonderlic score is really, really low, I don't see him going less than a 2-3 at the three at the best.
Oh no, I know he won't. I'm saying me personally, I would take Brett Hundley over Jameis Winston is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Excuse me. I know people are going to take him just for the hype surrounding him in general, but I've had a chance at Pac-12 Media Day to talk to Brett Hundley, and Brett Hundley is just the nicest guy. He's humble. He's got a good head on his shoulders, and all those things I just mentioned are not things I would attribute to Jameis Winston, so... those are my opinions, but I think Mariota impressed a lot of people, though, this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, you know, they knew going into it athletically, you know, he was pretty much had the goods as far as speed, agility, you know, he had a good vertical leap. The only questions that people have is, you know, can he throw from the pocket? Can he read defenses? You know, can he go from the, you know, from his first regression all the way through the third or fourth without taking off running? So, you know, those are questions that remain to be answered. But, yeah, so far everybody's been impressed with what he's done so far.
And honestly, I feel like those are things that can be coached and taught and kind of cultivated. You know what I mean? It's really those intangibles that you want to find in a player, you know, because those are really what are important. And I feel like Mariota has those right now. I feel like Mariota is the guy that you see that has all of that raw talent and has the intangibles that you say, okay, look, let's kind of make him into the guy we want and not, you know, put him in a system that's not going to work for him, but let's be like, hey, your release is off, or hey, let's work on staying in the pocket, because he's obviously willing to learn. He's willing to work on anything you want him to. You know what I mean? And that's one of the reasons why I like Mariota so much is that I really see that out of him, and you know, I like those type of players. I love to see those kind of guys really succeed in the NFL.
Yeah, I think he'll be around for a long time. It's just a matter of, I mean, you know, if you're the guy with the money and you've got all those questions, you know, of course you're going to, you know, kind of be like, I'm not sure yet. But, yeah, I think he'll be around for a long time. He seems like he's an intelligent guy. He seems like he'd be coachable, especially if somehow Chip Kelly ends up with him. I mean, I think, you know, this guy would be the limit.
Yeah, and I've heard, these are rumors, obviously, that Chip Kelly's making moves to try and end up with him. Obviously, Chip Kelly coached him at Oregon. He knows what kind of talent he has there. So that would be interesting. That would be really interesting to see Chip Kelly and Mariota, you know, reunited. So, Nkechi, did you read any or watch any Combine stuff this weekend?
No, I actually didn't do the Combine because I actually was paying more attention to what was happening in a lot of the off-season trades, especially since someone wanted to go and spike my blood pressure.
That was funny.
Oh, my gosh. Because is that enough that Jason Hatcher left my Cowboys and came over here? But you want to spike my blood pressure. So now I am forced to be a good NFL football person and pay attention. And I actually did hear something that I thought was really good, and we actually talked about this last week. I don't think any of us saw this one coming. I don't know, did you guys hear that John Elway is not even meeting with Julius Thomas's agent?
I had heard that they were almost certain that Julius was going to be leaving because they were just going to let him walk out the door, so...
And that was so crazy because we had just talked about that. We had just said last week that, you know what, with Peyton going into this last stages of maybe his last year, maybe he's got two more in him, but is this the time to really decimate that offensive line, you know, and make him have to start all over again with a bunch of new characters? Now, I know that, you know, your Brady's able to keep doing it time after time after time, but that doesn't mean that Peyton can, and especially after the injury and the age, and is this really the time to be doing that? So I was really surprised, you know, about that one. And then, of course, you know, Green Bay released, his name just went right out of my head, the one who muffed up the onside kick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did see that. I don't know. I can't think of his name right now, but I did see that.
No, I can't either.
Yeah, you know, the thing with Peyton. Oh, what's that?
No, go ahead. What'd you say?
Oh, no, I was just saying, you know, and Denver can't count on the draft to go for a wide receiver. You know, they're pretty far down there on the draft order. It's not like, oh, hey, we're going to score ourselves some, you know, five-star wide receiver. You know, they're in the bottom half of the draft order. It's just you have a guy who knows Peyton's style. You have a guy who has, you know, worked on that chemistry, who knows your playbook. Why in the world would you just let him walk out without even trying to cultivate a deal. That's the problem, too. If I get a guy who's demanding too much money and you go, hey, we can't swing it, but you're not even going to try and you know,
right.
play ball a little bit with the offer, that doesn't even make sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's,
yeah,
you know.
There's got to be something else going on behind the scenes.
Exactly. Yeah, there has to be.
Well, a new thing that popped up yesterday, I don't know if you guys saw, happened to see on Twitter or not, but Matt Forte is kind of hinting that he might not be
Ooh.
Too happy about coming back to Chicago. So we'll have to keep an eye
on
that.
Oh, yes. And then Larry Fitzgerald signed that huge contract. Can I just say, and
yeah.
we talked about that, why is he still there? I'm really trying to understand. And as much as I'm not all about the mercenaries and I'm not about the, you know, I love the team loyalty thing. I really do because I really wish more people during this free agency period would just get with a team, finish with a team, and have a wonderful career. On the other side of that, after they lost the Super Bowl to the Steelers, that was the time to move and to move to a team that had a chance to truly win a Super Bowl like he deserved, because we knew that Kurt Warner wasn't coming back that year. And ever since Kurt Warner left, they have always been on the cusp of an almost also ran. And I'm just like, what is he doing? You know, from the Rams who finally went to the Falcons, only, of course, the running back, Lord, I can see his face right now, just went out the window just that fast with the locks. And I'm just
Steven
like,
Jackson.
Yes. It, you know, like Steven Jackson, you know, you guys are fabulous and you're wonderful and you're talented and you just are not with a team that has the pieces that are needed to get you over that hump. And I'm just like, why?
In shock. If you look at the way they started out, it looked like they were going places. So, you know, maybe he's
mm-hmm.
banking on that, you know, Carson Palmer will be back next year and there'll be another year
mm-hmm.
better, but, I'm
No,
sense, I'm with you.
Palmer is not the one to get them there. That was, okay, no.
Hey.
I'm sorry.
Hey, they were
headed
somewhere.
No, I don't know. I think that if sometimes in teams, you know, you don't always need, you know, a Tom Brady to get it done. You know, sometimes you get a guy like a Carson Palmer who, up until the injury this year, looked better than we had ever seen him. You know, sometimes you get a guy like that and you get a guy like Larry Fitzgerald and you get a defense like the Cardinals had last year, and sometimes it all just fits together and it works and you have a Super Bowl, a possible Super Bowl team, you know. I agree that if you just look at Carson Palmer by himself, you're like, hell no, that is not happening. But you get Carson Palmer and all these other pieces and it works. And you know, I'm with you and Kishi. I respect the loyalty. I love seeing it. And I was only disappointed because I was hoping he would test free agency and the Patriots could grab him. But I was happy to see him kind of, you know, stay with Arizona. I think he probably likes living there. He's, you know, he's settled. I think that those are also other factors that, I mean, who wants to move all the time? I wouldn't. I know that, not every couple of years. And I think that if you have the potential to stay where your life is and keep working on building this team, you know, that's an attractive option, I think, for some of these guys.
No, and you're right.
Yeah,
I mean, look what Trent Dilfer did with the Ravens. I mean, clearly Trent Dilfer is not a Tom Brady. But the Cardinals don't have the defense that the Ravens had for that 2000 Ravens defense. That's just a once-in-a-lifetime kind of a defense, other than last year when, you know, the lead in a boom. But, I mean, even still, they were a different style of defense, you know, whereas the Ravens were all on the front, and that was, you know, really their hard-hitting core, you know, was all on the defensive line as opposed to the secondary, which is really what stands out, you know, for the Seahawks. But I just, if the Cardinals had that type of a defense, I wouldn't even sweat the Carson Palmer. And you're right. That is probably the best he has looked since he and Chad Ochocinco were in their first couple of years together. Because
yeah.
I literally haven't seen him look that good since then. But I just was, but I agree with you. I just really would have wished he would have tested the free agency market.
Yeah, and maybe he's worried, too, that he wouldn't have got as much money should he test than what the Cardinals were offering him. I mean, he's not, I mean, he's at the, now he's at the other side of his career longevity-wise, you know what I mean? And wide receivers don't typically test real well in free agency from what the last, I don't know, 3 years or so that I'd seen. They don't test real well in free agency. And that may be another aspect he's saying, well, I could test, but I could lose money and then not be with the team I want. You know what I mean? So that may have been another aspect that he was, you know, considering. But, well, we are pretty much done here. And Kishi, do you have any last comments before we go?
No, this was a this is really good, and I look forward to really seeing and catching up with how, you know, the rest of the free agency market goes and see who's moving and, you know, and what kind of moves they're making in the off season. Of course, you know, the Redskins, I have no choice. I'm right here. They're making some interesting moves. And, oh, that was the last thing. Did you guys hear about the Shanahan interview?
I did not.
I don't think so.
Well, Mike Shanahan did an interview with one of the local – he did an interview with one of the local radio stations, and he basically let it out. I mean, he gave a very candid interview, and it's been the whole topic of nothing else around here. And now he's basically said on so many levels, this kid came in running the show, talking about RG3 – he talked about the Donovan McNabb trade. And what a lot of people around here took away from that was the fact that, but you're Mike Shanahan. You were the president. You know, you were the head honcho. So how much control then did you really have, considering that you're supposed to be this legendary coach that's known for control? You know,
yeah.
And that was just, and a lot of people were just stunned at the openness of it, but then other people then still brought up the point, well, if you are still the one in control, and he talked about the doctor. He basically all but said he was Mr. Magoo. I mean, he talked about the team doctor and how, you know, and a lot of people said, well, if that's the case, then you see RG3 is out there hobbling. At what point then do you as a coach take control of the reins and say, sit down, son, you know, as opposed to keep playing him? So it's been all the buzz around here this whole week. And I think the interview, and the irony was that the interview happened simultaneously as Jay Gruden was at the combine announcing that RG3 was going into the 2015-16 year, was going to be the starting quarterback. So, I mean, the timing was just crazy. So, yeah, that's been all the rage around here. Mm-hmm.
Well, definitely be so. I'll have to look up the transcript. That's funny. I like Shanahan. Like Shanahan. I don't know. People, you kind of, I think Shanahan, you either love him or you hate him, but I've always liked him. I don't know. Eric, do you have any last comments or rants or anything?
Well, I think this might brighten Kishi's day if she hasn't heard this, but I just saw a report today that Adrian Peterson might be trying to get a trade worked out with the Cowboys. So,
yes.
Well, keep a good eye on that.
I am cautiously optimistic only because if they bring in Peterson, what does that mean for DeMarco Murray, who I do not want to leave? I don't care. You bring an AP all day. You can bring an AP all day, every day, and twice on Sunday. I still don't want DeMarco Murray to go. There are some other players who are fabulously who are third string, and you can let them go. Yes, you can. You can make it happen. And I know AP is worth a lot, but considering all the controversy, he's going to bring that price tag down. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. And you keep, I don't care what you do, you keep that DeMarco Murray.
Well, if they
That's
do bring him, DeMarco Murray is not going to be around. They're not going to want to split time, so.
I know that, but that's the whole point. That, do you know how awesome that would be for the offense, though, where you have to choose who are you going to cover, Adrian Peterson, DeMarco Murray, or Dez Bryant, or Witten? Come on. You put Witten on one end. You put Dez on the other. You get.
I think she got so excited, her phone cut out.
Yeah, I think she hit the button.
Well, she's still on. I think she might have hit her mute button, so she probably doesn't realize it yet. So that will be interesting for sure. We'll have to keep an eye on that story. Yeah, I think that if they bring on Adrian Peterson, that means that they couldn't work out a deal with Murray. I can't see them keeping both of those guys. I really couldn't see it. It just doesn't make much sense, you know.
Right.
I'm still here.
I figured you got so excited you muted your phone. So.
I did.
That's all right. Well, I put up a letter on Gridiron Girl in the ProTrack section. It is a letter to the Buccaneers all about it's a cautionary tale on if they draft Jameis Winston, I have a feeling they will be the next I really feel like Jameis Winston is the next Ryan Leaf and Jamarcus Russell. I'm just going to put that out there right now. I did say it. I went ahead and said it. So, you can go check out GridironGirl.org and find that letter. It is on the slider. I also have a Combine 101 post for anybody that's curious about the Combine, how it works, what the drills are for, and all of that. You can find that at GridironGirl.org as well. So there's another awesome edition of the Blitzdown Blog Talk Radio and UltimateSportsTalk.com. We want to thank Callie for coming on and taking the time. I know these women are just so busy because not only do they work and have regular jobs, they also make the time to play football and train, work out, and they also do community service, and they do a lot of good in their community. So for them to make the time on their kind of their off time, we really appreciate it. So we want to wish her very well in 2015. A reminder to check out Gridiron Girl's Twitter, at GridironGirl.org, and our Facebook is facebook.com/GridironGirl.org, I believe, or you can just search GridironGirl.org, and it'll come up. So you can follow Kishi on Twitter at Kishi's Cuties, and you can follow Eric at Fit for Life. Life is spelled with a Y, and you can follow me at PacFangirl12. We tweet about sports, NFL, all that fun stuff, and we're pretty funny. We're awesome, so you'll want to follow us. So you can follow us on Twitter, and by us I mean at Gridiron Beauties, and retweet for your chance to win a Noel Joe football tee of your choice. The contest ends in 5 days, February 27th, so hurry, it's easy and free, and who doesn't love free? So, a new contest, so you follow us and retweet on Twitter by sending us your favorite sports bra selfie with the hashtag Noel Joe football by March 29th, for a $50 Victoria's Secret gift card. Woo woo! We will choose the coolest selfie. So get creative, ladies. $50 of Victoria's Secret. How awesome is that? You can buy another sports bra. So you can catch me. I'm on Cover 3, which I don't think we have any more going, but Cover 3 is awesome. So you can follow Cover 3 at Cover, the number 3, then the word 3 spelled out. And I still have not gotten my rant out, but I do promise I am going to do it one of these days. I had a bad tooth this week, so I couldn't do it. But I will be doing it. And when I do it, you'll find that link for YouTube on my Twitter page at CatsFanGirl12. So we want to thank everyone for the support and for listening. We appreciate it so much. So for me, Eric, and Nkishi, you all have a very nice evening, and we will catch you next Sunday for another awesome edition of The Blitz here on Blog Talk Radio and UltimateSportsTalk.com. Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Bye, guys.